Okay, our next session has to do with the nuts and bolts of web radio. And Barry Hill, Director of Sales, Technical Sales for RCS, will be doing this presentation. I think this presentation could be very interesting because it's moving into the streaming. I know we've played with streaming, you know, with the radio stations a lot, and everyone has a certain way and a different way that they're doing it and believes, you know, this is the best or that's the best, and it's still open to debate, you know, how things are going to weigh out, especially with the recent decision on the royalties. So with this presentation, again, we're getting more and more information. That's what we need to do is talk more about how to produce this second audio program compared to our terrestrial stations, and I think this is going to be very good. So I'd like to introduce Barry Hill with this presentation of Nuts and Bolts for Web Radio.
Hello again. My name is Barry Hill. I'm the Director of Technical Sales here at RCS. Director of Technical Sales is a fancy way of saying sales demo geek, basically. And today I'm going to give you a short and painless presentation entitled The Nuts and Bolts of Web Radio. What I'm going to be talking about is web streaming, present and future, and where we thought it was going and where we at RCS believe it is actually going. And one of the fastest growing segments of the internet today is probably e-commerce. For a while, it was just kind of a novelty. There were trust issues. Are people going to spend any money on the internet? Are people going to use their credit cards on the internet and so on? Now we know that that's a different story. Consumers today are not nearly as hesitant to buy things over the net. You guys have probably done plenty of Christmas shopping over the internet. And consumers have access to millions of products at their fingertips. They can click, order, have something FedEx to their house overnight, whether they live in New York City or Spread Eagle, Wisconsin. Is anyone from Spread Eagle, Wisconsin? Just curious. You've been there, all right? I don't know that you'd want to admit that, sir. I'm just saying. This is of course great for the consumer, but even better for merchants because they can market their products directly to the people they want to reach instead of casting this wide net and hoping that they snare a few dozen prospects in the interim. But what about radio? What does this have to do with us? Well, at first radio loved the new toy in the box. Wow, we can stream on the radio. That's really slick. But then of course you guys, everyone realized very quickly that it was a lot of work. There was a lot more to it. First, you had to have a website, which soon meant you had to have a webmaster or masters if you wanted it to be fresh and updated and not just something boring with you know, a list of DJs and the station address and hours that you were open. And then if you wanted to try and make some money at it, you had to do some banner ads, had to be created, and of course you gentlemen and ladies had to set up an encoder, pay for a host, in the hopes that somebody was going to click and listen to this stuff. And then, of course, you had to make it sound good as well, which is a whole nother ball of wax. And this is nothing new to you. This is something you guys have been dealing with for some time. And in the beginning, of course, many radio stations avoided these things because there didn't really seem to be any way to really turn it into money, actually make some revenue off of it. But along the way to 2008, something happened. People are listening to web radio, especially in the office place. Just last week, I was talking with the executive vice president of electronic media for a large radio corporation that shall remain nameless. And he said some really interesting things to me while we were having lunch. He said that they can literally nationwide, they can watch tens of thousands, maybe even close to hundreds of thousands of people log in 9 o'clock in the morning onto the stream in their office place, minimize their audio player. They don't know if they're minimizing. We assume they're minimizing their player. And then all day long, listen to the radio over their office computer. And then around 5 o'clock, they see a mass defection, people disconnecting, which is great. That's awesome. People are actually using it. And now with Arbitron starting to actually track it, we can actually start to quantify that. That's wonderful, but that just brings up more questions, doesn't it? What do we do? What should we, why should we go to all this trouble if it's just more work for very little payoff? Well, one of the bullet points on here I want to point out is probably the last one. How can I hold my listeners longer? That's the whole point here. Some would say that's the biggest point. Because if you give your listeners something to do, and you give them the opportunity to, you have the opportunity to engage them, hook them, and then sell them something. I mean, that's what this is all about, of course, is keeping your listeners longer and hopefully selling them some ads, right? That's what we're in the business for. There's a stat here that is very telling that I want to show you. Right there. By 2010, internet advertising revenue will pass the $25 billion milestone. That is a tremendously huge number, $25 billion. And there's no reason why we as broadcasters shouldn't get a piece of that action. But in order to get a piece of that action, you really need to do a little more, put forth a little more effort than just, you know, a Windows Media Encoder and a couple of banners on the website, because that's frankly pretty boring. And we at RCS have already been thinking about this and have come up with an idea, and I'm going to show that to you now. And you knew I was going to do this. Here's the pitch, right? We call it RCS Radio Show. And what we've done is we've created a synchronized visual stream to go along with the radio stream that you guys already have. The internet is a multimedia stream. It is audio and visual. So you have to present something that is compelling to your audience, more so than just the title and the artist of what's now playing and you know, just some basic information. It needs to be more than that today. And we suddenly have this new avenue available to us as broadcasters. Now, to most radio broadcasters, this is new territory. As radio people, we just aren't wired for pictures, so to speak. And that is why at RCS we've developed a platform that makes it much easier to create a synchronized visual component to go along with the audio that you guys are already producing. And it's really a three-pointed attack. The first one is in the car. Now, you guys already know about RDS, so that's something you guys are very intimately familiar with. And right now, I'd say 99.9% of the people using RDS today are just doing title and artist information. Maybe you've got the station call letters on there, or maybe a slogan every once in a while. But that's pretty much it. Now, we obviously don't want people reading movie reviews on their radios. But there it could be so much more. You could, for example, have the current temperature on there, or the high and low temperature for the day. I mean, you could do contesting. There are other things that could be done with that. But frankly, it's kind of a pain. There's no easy way to get that data out to your encoder so that you can present this to your audience. There's no easy, simple way. If we've come up with a way for that. You knew that. Part number two is the computer, of course. There's a ton of data and info out there if you just go and grab it, and you can use that to present to your audience as well. And we can automate that for you. There's a visual scheduling engine in our product that can gather RSS feeds, XML and HTML feeds from a number of sources, and then inject these into the visual stream along with your audio at predetermined intervals down the stream to the end user. There are tens of thousands of RSS feeds available today. RSSfeeds.com lists over 85,000 that people have. And if you're not familiar with RSS or what that is, RSS stands for Really Simple Syndication. It is an easy way for websites to push information to web clients or you. Music channels, all the major TV networks are doing it now. Bloggers, gossip columnists, everybody, it seems, is providing RSS feeds. And using Radio Show, you can accept those feeds, save them, schedule them, and then broadcast that out along with the audio. So it's a way of engaging the listener, more so than just having it be background. Actually draw them in and have them give them something to look at along with what they're listening to, more so than just the artist title and now playing info. And the third prong that I believe is really where this is all going is on the phone. This is huge. The next generation of Nokia mobile phones will have FM receivers built in. And others will be sure to follow. That's pretty much predetermined at this point. So very soon, everyone with a mobile phone is also a potential listener now. And they have a screen in their hand that we have access to. A screen on which you can place information, all of that same information that I just spoke of. Suddenly it's not just a phone anymore, or a smartphone, or an iPhone, but it's a all-in-one entertainment device. It's the magic widget in your pocket that we've all dreamed about when we were kids. It's going to be doing everything now. Basically an all-in-one entertainment device. And all of that results in one important thing, the most important thing, more time listening, higher ratings, more money, the whole point we have radio stations. So if you give your listeners a reason to show up, a reason to stick around, and then you engage them, they listen longer. This is nothing new. This is one of the basic rules of radio, keep them through the quarter hours as long as possible. So with a platform such as ours, you can easily get that interactivity that many websites are lacking. Frankly, many radio station websites are just pretty boring. There's really nothing going on there. It's just a place to go to find out information about who the DJ is and maybe you know what the latest contest is or photos from the last remote, and that's about it. And as an industry, we really need to expand on that. We need to take it to the next level and do something a little more engaging, a little more exciting. If we're going to compete, we need to give our listeners something they can't get across the street. We need to interact with our listeners, something that your competitors aren't doing, something unique. And, of course, give your advertisers something more than just a spot. Give them interactive content that drives the consumers to their business or to their websites as well. And, of course, this all results in making more money, which is the whole point. Now, as far as our platform goes, this radio show platform that we're talking about, and here's a little shameless self-promotion. I want to draw your attention to the words here, though, intelligently scheduled. That's really what makes the difference here. My company, RCS, is a scheduling company. We, of course, invented music scheduling 28 years ago with a product called Selector that probably, let's say, the vast majority of your music directors probably use. And so scheduling is something we do. The visual scheduler we use is a just-in-time scheduler, a JITA scheduler. There's a component called the automation watcher that monitors your playout system, any of them, preferably next-gen, of course. And it knows what's queued, it knows what's coming up, and it fetches visuals according to what's queued in the system and synchronizes those out. Album art, song and artist bios, whatever your programmers or you would like. It's all goal-based. You tell it, I'd like more of this, I'd like less of that. And the information is synchronized along with the audio stream. But so often, websites today, the streaming engines, you're just simulcasting the radio station and there's 3.5 minutes of what's playing, you know, now playing, Dave Matthews Band. That's 3.5 minutes wasted. You don't have to have that boring static screen. You could have music news, headlines, horoscopes. There's 85,000 RSS feeds of information out there that you can use and aggregate. And you want to give your listeners, cute cat photos and McCain Obama jokes. There's probably an RSS feed for that, too. They're out there, ready for your use. Here's a simple block diagram of basically what we're doing. It's much, much more than just a banner ad, as you can see, and what song is on the radio. There's all sorts of content sent to the listener in a synchronized visual stream, in-house created content. National content, RSS text feed content, album art content, fulfillment content, you name it, and we can aggregate that and send that out. We monitor the automation system for status changes and gather the visuals according to a predetermined mix and send it out within seconds of the automation system firing it off. And this is a just-in-time design that I spoke of. And it's important to take note of because that means there's no added work for the staff. There's no daily visual schedule somebody has to maintain. There's no worries of visuals being out of sync if the jock decides to deviate from the log, which we know they never do. It also means that your listeners don't see the same thing over and over again. Every time a certain song plays or every time a certain spot plays, they see the same boring thing. We change things up according to your goals. Because let's face it, listeners are bored with the same old, or worse, 3.5 minutes of now playing information. The visuals are scheduled moments before air on the fly. It's an automatic transmission, so to speak. And we do monitor the automation system, queue up the necessary graphics, and stream that out. So now you're probably saying, all right, what does this thing look like, Barry? Well, we do have a demo site that we can show you at our booth if you want to stop by later tonight. But basically, it is a collection of tools for your web designer. It's not really an actual visual product. It's an underlying platform that your web designers would integrate into your existing website. Something simple like this. This is just our simple little, we're not web designers. I'll admit that. But you can synchronize the graphics along with the now playing information. But most important is the advertisers. This is where it really gets neat and where you make your money. Advertisers can have content that enhances the radio ad, complete with click-through information, animated flash, graphics. They don't have to be static. They can move about. And most, if not all, of the national companies today have these types of visuals available for standard website use, and you can integrate that into this product as well and use that stuff. Something else that we can also handle is product fulfillment, that e-commerce that we spoke of, that $25 billion worth of stuff. We can interact with web merchants to provide a seamless buying experience for your listeners if you desire, if you want to. And then, again, taking it to the next level, we can do all this on the phone as well. And I really believe that's where this is going. Have any of you played around with one of these iPhones? This is kind of what started the revolution about a year and a half ago. And everybody is gearing up. You see RIM's got a new phone coming out. You see Nokia's got a new phone coming out. Everybody's taking the cue and moving on down this multimedia kind of design, this multimedia road. And that's really, I believe, where things are headed. All of this you can do on the phone as well. Purchase now playing songs. Do phone-only contesting. Maybe a visual that pops up on the phone. Text us Z100 and win the concert tickets. The avenues and the possibilities are really endless as we've broadened our scope here. So what are the advantages, again, to recap, for radio and the web? Well, you guys already have half of it in place. You're already halfway there. You've already got a show. You've already got a radio station. Why not show it on the Internet as well? The Internet is a visual medium. Use it. You can upsell your advertisers for an additional cost. For example, that local car dealer in town can put his daughter's face on the web as well as have her annoying voice on the radio commercial. Do they do that here in Wisconsin, the car dealers, with their kids, just in New York? The guys see nodding, yeah. I thought that was just a New York thing. It's extremely annoying. You can also create that interactive relationship, and this is really what it's all about, is the interactive relationship with your listener in the car, at the office, when they're walking down the street with their cell phone. Something that brings the listener into the mix, something that's interactive, something that gives them more communication with you and your radio station. And this last point is also interesting, too. Segment the web audience. You don't have to spend that 3.5 minutes during the song just showing album art or bio information or worse, just now playing. You can use that time to cycle ads through, to give that RSS feed information, to do other things. And again, prior to something like the product I'm showing you today, that was pretty much impossible unless you went to a lot of work and you had dedicated people to do this for you, and we've really automated that process. Something else that I wanted to mention about web ads and just web internet advertising in general is we have a unique advantage in radio in that we give both sides of the coin. Web buyers are looking for demographic and geographic. Well, with the web, it's very easy to get one or the other. You know, you can say, all right, I want to do a geographic thing. I want to cover the United States with this particular ad, or I want to go to a certain website and get a demographic. With radio, we can provide both. We can provide the demographic and the geographic. We can say that we have 18 to 34-year-old females and in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, we have the ability to do both of those things, and that's a very unique position that radio is in when it comes to web ads. And this is really just untapped at this point, in my opinion. Most radio stations don't have people who are actively selling the internet. It's just kind of an add-on thing, an add-on toy. But it really could be so much more than that. Also, geographically, with web streaming, you're expanding your potential audience. We tend to think of web streams as only being our local radio station, our local state, our local county, what have you. But, you know, the world is open to you. When you're streaming on the internet, you're streaming to the planet. So think globally. Think big. Don't think about it just as your existing listeners and hoping to get them while they're in the office as well. There are friends of mine that I talk to that listen to radio stations in the UK. They listen to, you know, I've got relatives in Seattle that listen to radio stations in New York. And if you give them something compelling, if you give them a reason to come, there's no reason why you can't have those listeners as well. So we put it all together with this product, with Radio Show, now playing information, artist content, sponsor images, flash animations, those RSS feeds that are popping up all over the internet, over 85,000 sources, an easy interface with your automation system, no separate schedule required. Just-in-time scheduling and using existing metadata in-house if you already have it in your Selector Linker database or what have you. And I tell you, it's really the future, especially when it comes to the whole cell phone aspect that's coming soon. And Greg mentioned also with the new ruling on the royalty fees, the whole industry is about ready to really take off because everybody was kind of unsure where we were going with the fee aspect, and now that that's settled, you're going to see a lot more competition come into this whole avenue. So that pretty much concludes my infomercial. Thank you for watching. But seriously, the internet is only growing and only consuming more and more of your listeners' lives. It's only consuming more of your lives. Embrace it. Don't fear it. Use it to its fullest potential. And if you'd like to swing by and see us in the booth there, we can show you a little bit more about what we can help you, how we can do that for you. So that's pretty much my time. Are there any questions or comments or ideas that you guys have or something that you're doing that's unique that I may have not covered with your web presence?
Sure. Heard a lot about music royalties. Now it's the national ads are, you know, governed by the actual performers' rights. And so we've had issues with overlays on the stream. Do you deal with handling commercial overlay to cover up national spots?
We do. We do have the ability to do national versus local, to do kind of an in-house network, if you will. So with this product, we can do that very thing. The problem, of course, is that the internet is, how do you define local or national on the internet? It's global at this point.
So what if you have, like, online-only content? Like, we have, you know, certain advertisers that specifically are online-only.
Yes.
Do you support that?
Absolutely. That's part of the advantage of a product such as this is the fact that you can have that online-only information. There's 3.5 minutes, roughly on average, you know, for every song or for a music station. that you've got to fill there. There's no reason why you can't have those internet-only ads cycling through during that time, giving them exposure outside of the traditional spot breaks throughout the hour.
How big a pipe do you need for your programming service? Are we talking a fairly narrow server output pipe? Or are we talking something broader where you'd put the whole VH1 music video down?
No, you can't do a music video, unfortunately. What it is, we're leveraging basically Windows Media Player and Flash. The product that I'm talking about today is really the underlying engine, the scheduling, and the creation of the content. We're just using normal, everyday encoders to actually present that. We're not creating anything new there. So it'd be the same thing you're already doing now, essentially.
Say Liquid Compass or Stream Audio or whatever, we would just be delivering them something different?
That's correct. You'd still need a host. You'd still need to deal with your web hosts.
They're ready to get that?
I'm sorry?
They're ready to get that?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, this is nothing. The actual transmission medium is nothing new. That's existing technology. Well, the technology that we're bringing to the table is the creation of all this data. Putting it all together, that's always the hardest part. It's not the streaming of the information is not the difficult part. The difficult part is putting it all together, getting all this piles and piles of information. It's very labor intensive, and so we've automated that process to make it more simple.
Just a quick question to continue on that. If you're providing the video stream coming in and we're providing the audio stream, how do you take your cues? What are we providing to you?
We have a little adjunct program called the Automation Watcher that is monitoring the output of your automation system, whatever automation system that may be. And we queue off that now playing information. So the same stream of data that you're providing to, say, an RDS encoder or to your website now, we can associate that information and we draw the visuals off of that information. So if we look ahead, hopefully the system, many of the systems will give us the currently playing and what's coming up next. If not, we'll have to go off the currently playing, which there'd be a slight lag. But if we can get the information prior to air, then we can gather that information and aggregate that data so that as the audio fires from the automation system, the visuals are synchronized.
Yeah, I had a question. Actually, when you were talking about some of the sort of links to or whatever, if anybody's doing anything with like artists' blogs or their MySpace sites, say ticket sites, fan club sites, maybe tour info, merchandise from tours, and then even downloading songs, you know, not paying for downloads through a site that way, or even music equipment manufacturers, like say, you know, get your Johnny Cash, Martin guitar, and then the station gets a percentage of that or whatnot.
Absolutely. The first few things you mentioned there are exactly what I'm talking about. Artist blogs, Facebook pages, MySpace pages. People are integrating RSS feeds into those as well. RSS is really, it started off as something very, the name is really simple syndication, and it is very basic and simple in its design. But really, people have embraced it unbelievably and have expanded on that, and those kinds of things can be integrated in.
Yeah, because that's kind of a lot where the young fans are. I see,
it's exactly
a lot of them. They're all into that. Or even with, like, say, some even political cause-type sites or things like that, you know, they'll have...
Exactly.
Artists that support certain things, and they could link to that.
People under the age of 28 are very familiar with RSS feeds, with Twitter feeds, with all of this information, and those are all something that that we can integrate into the visual stream, and that you guys should you know, do a search on and read up on, because that's really where we're headed. So try and, I guess in conclusion, try and think outside of the just, oh, we're going to simulcast the radio station. There's so much more that you can do than just copy what you're already doing on the radio, which is the easy way out. You can really engage your listeners. So I've seen a couple of different radio stations that have done a very good job of turning their websites into a destination, turning their websites into something to go and see and to interact with. It's a whole other channel of entertainment aside from the radio station. So when you're in your meetings talking to your PDs and your GMs and such, bring this stuff up and encourage them to move forward. And don't be afraid of the new technology. Okay. Thank you.